KGO Radio News.
When disasters and emergencies strike, turn to KGO to stay informed and up to date. The Bay Area's news station is KGO 810.
Good Saturday afternoon. Matt Ray, KGO Radio 810, 415-808-0810 is the number. If anything, we're here to inform and here to help. Seven signs it's time for you to say, I'm out of here. Take your job and just shove it. Get the hell out of there. Let's welcome in our guests this hour, Michael Houlihan and Bonnie Harvey. They're workplace culture experts. The website is barefootwinefounders.com. How you doing, guys?
Great.
Hey, we're doing great, Matt. Glad to be
here. Thanks for joining us here on KGO. Seven signs it's time to quit your job. Let's go over some of these here. What are some of the signs that you probably should say, I'm out of here?
Well, one of a big sign is you hate your work or you hate your boss.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not happy at work, you're not going to be happy at home, and your whole life is going to kind of go downhill. When that starts happening, then you start noticing that your health is deteriorating. Well, all those things kind of pile onto each other, and it's time to start evaluating what's going on at your office and what it is that you really want in your life if you're having those kind of feelings.
But, is there anybody out there that likes their boss?
Yes, there are, actually.
I shouldn't put it that way. I mean, is there anybody out there who doesn't get frustrated with their boss?
I don't think so. I think everybody gets frustrated from time to time with their boss. But, you know, these are things like you feel like you don't fit in because, you know, you have the best skill set in the world, but it just doesn't fit in with the people or with the workplace where you are. You might also feel that you're overqualified. You know, we have a lot of people who are completely put out of work in the last recession. They took jobs that were really under their station because they had to feed the kids and pay the mortgage. So those people, they're looking for jobs that are more in tune with their qualifications and provide a salary that's more in tune with their liking. And sometimes, you know, you're asked to do something unethical at work, and that makes you feel very uneasy. Or you might even see that your company is about ready to go out of business or on a shaky financial footing, or you hear that there's a merger in the wind. You know, that might be the time to start looking for that security that you need to pay that mortgage and feed those kids.
You guys had mentioned you hate your work. It's stressful. It makes you sick. What role, if any, does your employer play in maybe recognizing signs? And should they? Do they have to?
Well, in order to have a happy office and very productive people, you really have to understand that getting along and working as a team is essential. Each person in the office has to understand how they fit in. So, yes, a good boss or manager will be looking to make sure that everyone is fitting in and doing the best that they can and that they're happy with it. And they understand how they're responsible for their particular aspect that allows the company to move forward and achieve its goals. And if the boss or the manager isn't giving the employees that kind of a feeling, then likely is they're not going to be very happy with their work because they don't know how they fit in.
I would imagine it's cheaper to hold on to employees that like their job.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, you take a look when an employer looks at a resume, the first thing they look at is the length of tenure that applicant has had with their former jobs. And why? It's because he knows he's going to invest a lot of time, electronic equipment, company knowledge, skill set knowledge, you name it, in that person. He wants to know that person's going to be there. And why? Because he doesn't want to replace them. The number one cost in business today, and you won't see this on any business plans, is turnover.
Wow.
You know, I mean, how many business plans say turnover, $10 million in the next 5 years? They just don't put it down. But it's there. It's real. When you lose somebody, you lose your company knowledge. You might even lose your customers. You're certainly going to lose time and energy and production.
We're speaking live with Michael Houlihan and Bonnie Harvey. They are the best-selling couple, I guess, best-selling book couple, husband and wife, The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. And the website is barefootwinefounders.com. What, let's say you're a coworker of somebody who just hates their job and they're miserable and they're making life for you miserable, because I think we've all been there. We've all seen the coworker that walks around with their head down and just, they just appear to be miserable and they're bringing you down too. What role does a coworker play in all this, if any?
Well, to have a little compassion and maybe look around the company and see if there's another position that the coworker might fit into more easily, something that might be more according to their likes and their skills. So maybe it's not just the company, but it's the position within the company. Sometimes that works if you're unhappy with your boss or your manager as well. So it's better to stick with the same company if there's a position there that they need that you can fulfill. And sometimes in our company, what we did is we kind of threw everybody's job description out at the on the table at the end of the year, and we looked to see what each person wanted to do instead of what was in their written job description. And people would pick up the pieces, and at the end of the day, they'd rewrite their job descriptions, and everyone was more happy. So we'd go on for that year and see how that went.
The economy is starting to improve. The unemployment is still, the unemployment number is still high, but the economy is starting to improve. Is this a good time, do you think, for people to maybe make a change? Is this a good time for somebody who's maybe stuck in a dead-end job they think is a stuck in a dead-end job? Is this a good time for them to make the jump?
Well, it's a good time to begin your job hunt. If that is what you think that you have to do. There may be more jobs out there with the economy improving. However, it's still rather difficult in the job market, and I think it's a real stressful situation to quit your job if you don't have something better that you're going to, that's for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. I want to hold you guys through the break if I can, because, you know, some people are looking to quit their job. They are looking to make the jump, and some of us might need a refresher or two on how to smarten up our resumes.
Don't worry, Matt. We won't quit.
Okay. I didn't think you would. I didn't think you would. I appreciate your time here. Michael Houlihan and his wife, Bonnie Harvey, wrote the New York Times bestselling book, The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. The website is barefootwinefounders.com. And the wine's great, by the way.
Thank you.
The price is... I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but the price is great, too. So thank you very much for that as well.
Best wine at the best price. That's our motto.
Matt Ray sitting in KGO Radio 810, taking your calls at 415-808-0810. 8080-810 is the number. 7 signs it's time to take your job and shove it. If you are planning on doing it, you'll probably need some refresher tips on your resume. So we'll take a look at that coming up out of the break.
Brian Copeland.
If there's no probable cause, I don't believe that there should be records that law enforcement has of where my car is, where my car has been.
Sundays from 1 till 4 on KGO 810.
Matt Ray in on KGO Radio 810. Michael Houlihan and Bonnie Harvey joining us this hour. Workplace culture experts, also author of the book, The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. The website is barefootwinefounders.com. We're talking about 7 signs it's time to take your job and shove it. And if people are looking to make that move, you guys, and they are looking to jump to another job, what about some tips on refreshing your resume? A lot of people have been in the same job for a long time, especially if you were lucky enough to have a job during the recession. So what about some tips on maybe refreshing your resume?
Well, first of all, you have to remember that your prospective new employer is going to read about 150 resumes. And like we said in the last segment, the first thing that he's going to look for is how long you were at each job, because he's about ready to invest in you, and he wants to make sure that you're not going to, you know, fly out at the drop of a hat, which gets back to this whole business about quitting your job. Don't quit your job unless you've been there for at least a year or even two, if you can stand it, because you're investing in your future from the standpoint of getting your next job. But let's say you've done that. Now, putting that resume together, the resumes that we read, and we've read thousands of resumes, you can hire people to put a resume together, and you can pretty much tell as an employer when that's been done. But the best thing you can do to update your resume is to really think about what it is you want what your passion is all about and what skills that you have and what experience you have to do that passion. Look for a job that matches that. And in the first paragraph on your resume, you want to say that you're the perfect person for this position because the position requires these skills and you have these skills. And then if they want to, and not only that, but you have a desire to do this and you have the history, you've done it. And then you say, and here's the proof. But that first paragraph is about all they're going to read. So you want to give it to them in about, you know, it's like a tweet or something. You know, it's like
140 or less.
Yeah. Just make it short and sweet and to the point.
Yeah. You said a job that's going to match your skills and passion, but you also said you need to stick it out for at least a year or two because that's something they're going to look at. How do you vet that? How does the prospective employee vet that? I mean, something may sound great going in, and then you get there, and you're just miserable after week two. So how do you vet the job you're looking for?
Well, you know, if you do have a job that you have to quit really quick, and you want to know how to put that down on your resume, you know, I would just call it a project. The problem with listing it as a full-on job is that if you leave that job, you know, you're going to be considered unstable. Now, how do you vet that? You really get in there and you interview your boss. You don't just go to the interview and answer questions. You go in there and you interview your boss. You ask him, you know, what does the company stand for? Where does the money come from? Where does the supply chain come from? You know, and then you go talk to people that worked at that company and you find out if they're happy and where they're going with their lives. And you take a look and you ask questions like, you know, what are the opportunities for advancement in this company? You know, what are the benefits? What are this? What are that? And then you go in and you ask if you can meet some of the people that you'll be working with. Most bosses would love to have an applicant ask questions like that because it shows that they care about the job.
Another thing that really shows that they care about the job is if the person who's applying for the job goes online and checks out the company and finds out everything they can about the company. So they've got some things to say during the interview that indicates that they've done their own research. So they're not just looking for a job. They're looking for a specific type of job, and they have chosen your company where they would want to work. That kind of enthusiasm and direction is really important to an employer.
So we all know first impressions are huge. Let's say you get there and the first 3 months are miserable. What do you do there? I mean, I can't imagine you just keep your head down and assume things will get better. And we talked about if you have to quit before a year, you call it a project. But I mean, these are lasting impressions, not only from you getting there and making that impression on your coworkers and your employer, but also for future employers, I would think. So what do you do if you get there and it's just miserable or you make a bad first impression?
Well, one of the things you have to remember, like we said earlier, is that your boss and your company has an investment in you. You understand, whether it's good or bad, you understand the company culture. Whether you agree with it or not, you understand what the company is trying to do. So you have some industry knowledge that's specific to that company. They don't want to lose that. So if you go to them and you say, you know, I applied for this job. I've had it for 90 days. You know, I don't think it's a good match. What else you got? Yeah. That would be something that I would do. I would be looking for other jobs within the company. And if that didn't work, you know, I would maybe, and I've seen a lot of people do this successfully, go to work for a supplier to that company or go to work for another company that is providing goods and services to that company, because then you get to have the relationship that continues with that company. And you can always say, yes, I went to work for this company for 3 months, but then they decided that I would do better if I worked for one of their suppliers. And so they recommend you to the supplier. I mean, let's face it, they have trained you about the company, so you would be a good guy or a gal working for a supplier or for an outsourced contractor.
Michael Houlihan and Bonnie Harvey, workplace culture experts. The website is barefootwinefounders.com. The best-selling book, The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. We appreciate your time this afternoon on KGO.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks for joining us. There you go. The seven signs that it's time to say, take this job and shove it. Now, like you heard from the experts there, make sure you have something else lined up because, let's face it, the economy is getting better, but the employment out there outlook is really not that great. Michael Finney is coming up following the top of the hour news break. And is Michael standing by there? Okay. Michael Finney coming up out of the top of the hour news break. So we'll get to him in just a bit here. Oh, okay. Hey, Michael, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Sorry, I didn't have a microphone turned up. I was thinking maybe I'll just take this job and shove it. No, that's a bad thing.
I think a lot of people don't want you to do that.
You're very kind. Hey, we're going to talk about the broken egg, the looming retirement crisis. That's what we're going to start off talking about. And then we're going to talk about the big bet on gluten-free. Great article out of the New York Times we need to talk about. And then the hidden costs of Medicare. We got a lot on our plate.
Very good. Michael Finney coming up out of the top of the hour break right here on KGO. Couple of things you should never say in an interview. Never say things like, well, I don't know. don't whip out your phone and start texting. I've heard the horror stories of people that just feel free. They'll be in a job interview and they'll feel free to just whip out their phone and start texting. They'll check their emails. They'll check their text messages. Don't do that. So never say, I don't know. I would say, don't say, I don't know. I think that would be a kiss of death in a job interview. But who knows? Maybe somebody else has a different take on that. Maybe ask for more information. If they do ask you a question that you don't know about. I mean, I don't know. That can be interpreted in a variety of different ways. Think about it. Well, you know, how do you feel about the direction of the department that you're going to start working in? I don't know. I don't think that's a good thing to say when you're being interviewed there. So, but maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe that, I just said it there. Maybe that's a sign of honesty. Something maybe you need to work on if you're heading into a job and you really don't know how things are going to go. You can always follow the conversation along on Twitter at Matt Ray Talk. That's where you can get at me. I will follow back. And listeners there, they have conversations as well.